All right, buddy here. Last week, hey, a couple of documents over there. The first one's laminated. Thank you, Sharon, for doing that last minute. But what I basically did is just put some of the tools that you can use for observation, interpretation, and application from the first 3 weeks. I put that on a document, and I put some of the laws of structure we went over under observation on the back. So, handy thing. It's not real handy. Like, your Bible's probably smaller, but I couldn't get it any smaller. But it would be handy for you to have that close to you when you're studying the Bible and looking at different things to observe, different things to interpret and apply. So, laminate a copy, keep it on your desk, try to make it really easy for you guys. So observation, don't look at the sheet, by the way. So when we talk about observation, what question are we asking?
Need some participation tonight.
What's the question of observation? What do I see in the text, right? And so we walk through like 10 laws of observation, asking questions, looking at key terms, different structures. What about interpretation? What did we say the key question in interpretation is? What does it mean? After we go through the long process of observation, what does it mean? Anybody remember without looking at some of the five C's that we talked about to help us get to the conclusion of what it means? Context. Content. Somebody said content. All right. I'm looking. You can't. I'm just kidding. What's that? What's the cultural background? Is there something I can compare it to in other places of scripture? And then I had a bunch of things sitting here. Consultation, right? Like commentaries and atlases and handbooks and dictionaries and things like that. So what does it mean? And then application, we're asking the question what? How does it work? If I say application, I say, well, how does it apply? That's not really fair, right? So how does it work? How does it work for me? How does it work for others? Last week, we talked about making sure that we get the principle right before we personally apply it. So we went through some of that. So tonight, we're going to look at correlation and really mostly communication. How does it fit? How does it fit in the framework of the whole scripture? But also, how do I communicate it? Have you ever played the game telephone? Telephone. We're going to play it right now. Communication. You've got someone that's communicating something, the sender, and then you have a receiver. All right, can you turn me off for a second so you don't hear it? All right, so I'm going to start here, and it's one sentence, and I want to see how we do to get all the way to the end. And Derek, you have to be the one to communicate whatever these people said. You can blame it on them, by the way. All
right. Hold on, hold on, hold on. Y'all gotta hear this.
The forest born 87 years ago.
The forest born 87 years ago? So you guys make me feel good about my communication skill. I'm just kidding. Tristan went to Trinity and got in trouble with the taxpayers. That's what I said. That's what I said. Tristan went to Trinity and got in. I even throw a bunch of T's in there just to help with the process. No, where did it break down? I don't know. Communication's difficult, right? Super difficult. Whether it's the sender or the receiver, or you need to turn your ears up or down, I don't know. It's a difficult process. And so when you take something like God's word, right, that's important to get right, it's a difficult task to communicate it to other folks. To observe it, to interpret, apply it. It's a whole different thing to communicate it. And maybe you've been in those shoes before where you're like, hey, I've been a Christian for a while and the pastor or somebody asks me to teach a Bible study or teach one night at community group or share a little devotional, or I've done that with my kids, teach my kids the Bible. It's a different kind of task, isn't it? And so I want to take tonight and go, how do we go from all this great learning that we've walked through and learn some ways to communicate it in different kinds of settings? And before we're done tonight, we're going to take a couple of different settings after I give you some different templates of how you might go about preparing and then delivering some communication with the scriptures. And so let me give you this big picture questions. It's on your sheet there. Big picture questions that you might ask before you do the Bible study, before you get up and teach in different places. The first question might be, what setting, you ask yourself, what is the setting that I'm teaching in? And I say, is it rows or is it circles? Or is it a U? I don't know. Rows or circles? And basically that's asking the question, is this just monologue most of the time? Am I just the only one that's going to speak? Usually that's in rows, and circles is something like your Bible study, maybe at a dinner table, your community group. Rows are more like preaching or a classroom. So asking yourself that question, that's going to dictate how you might put something together. Who is my audience? Am I teaching little kids in Sunday school? What age? You know, age 4 is different than age 10 to age 17 or 18. Who's my audience? Am I teaching adults? How much time am I given? Y'all are like, yeah, how much time are you given, Pastor? How much time is appropriate based on my audience, right? There's kind of a general rule out there. If you have a 10-year-old, you double their age, and that's how long they can listen. I don't think that applies once you get a little older. But for kids especially, you basically just double their age, and that's how long they could pay attention in a communication kind of setting. And then you kind of move from questions around who's my audience, what kind of teaching setting is this, and I'm coming back to some questions that you've already seen, because it's the first thing that I do after I do all the work and observation and interpretation and application. When I'm sitting down and after I've done all that work on a sermon or a Bible study, I'm asking the questions, what's the main idea of this text? What is the big picture? What is Paul trying to communicate in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 8? That's where I'm at this week. What's the big message? What's the main subject? There may be multiple subjects, but what's the main subject? And then what is Paul saying about that subject? Because those two questions really help frame a Bible study, a sermon, a family devotional, any kind of setting that you're in. That's where you want to start. If you don't start there, you will be in the forest. So if you've ever sat down and go, hey, it's my turn to do community group, but I feel like there's 18 subjects in 5 verses that I want to talk about, you got to come back. You kind of get in the airplane and look a little higher, right? And that's hard to do sometimes because you feel like, well, that's neat and that's awesome. So you got to go a little higher and go, hey, what's the main thought here? And then what is it saying about that? And what you'll find with that structure, it's a whole lot easier to take that and then go deeper than go from the trees and all the weeds up. And so I want to give you a tip. So what I want to do, and I'm moving a little bit here because I want to give us some time. I want to give you two different kinds of templates, one for rows and one for circles. One for if you're going to teach in a class, you're going to teach at a pulpit, and you're just monologue and you're speaking and people are listening the whole time. I want to give you a template, and there's a lot of different ways to do this. I'm just giving you one way to do it. And then I'm going to give you a template for your community group, a family devotional, those kinds of things that involves dialogue. It involves you asking questions. It involves still some teaching, but involves those kinds of things. And I'm looking around going, people are in a community group. They teach kids. So hopefully these are at least a couple of templates that might be helpful. You can tweak them. This isn't thus saith the Lord. I don't have a Bible verse for here's why the template for preaching that I'm or teaching in rows here is the one I use. There's a variety of ways that people teach in these different settings. But the first template, just looking at it there, really has the structure, introduction, the body of your talk, and then the closing. And if you just take those three, the introduction, I would say, is the goal of an introduction is to create a need for the listener to listen. That's my take. Some people don't agree with that. My take is I've got an audience, for example, on Sunday morning, they're coming in, they're throwing their kids in kids ministry, they're sitting down, their mind might be all over the place. We've worshiped, we've done communion. I want to take the subject that I know that I'm preaching about, and they know the text, and I want to get them bought in, right? I want to create the need for the audience to hear this text. And I've studied the text, so I know the subject, and I know what it says about the subject, so I'm trying to find, people might say it this way, a hook or something to draw you into listening, and then I'm going to say, you know what? This is not only important in the illustration or story or whatever I do to open a sermon, but this is important in your life as well. So I'm inviting people to the word by trying to get them to taste and see that this is important in your life. God's word has something to say to you about this truth. Does that make sense? And so you've drawn people in an introduction. You tell them what you're going to talk about, but you don't give them too much. I much prefer to preach in an inductive way where I'm not giving too much away early so it makes the listener listen. I usually do this in an introduction, is give you a little bit of roadmap, right? I give you a roadmap of just a little bit of where we're going so you get a sense of where this text is going before you read it. You ever do that in reading comprehension on a test, kids? Before you read the passage, you look at the questions because it helps you know what you're looking for. So that's important. But I'm giving you where we're going a little bit of a preview. And then the question is, how do you go from the introduction to the text? Like you've got to make a transition into that. And so how do you do that? And so the introduction is the goal in an introduction is to create a need for the listener to listen. And I know you guys, you might say, well, I'm going to listen. That's why I'm here. Right. I'm here because I want to hear the word of God, but I'm trying to connect the main idea or the main subject of the text we're about to walk through to your life in a way where you go, okay, I'm in. I'm ready to listen to the word of God. Different people view that in different ways, and that's fine. And then you get to the body of a talk, whatever it is, whether it's, you know, in a classroom or a pulpit, et cetera, where it's monologue. And I would say the goal of the meat of the text, the goal is to draw out time to teach the text, but to draw out timeless. And here's your second thought or third, maybe, timeless biblical principles. I'll play telephone again here. Just kidding. Timeless biblical principles about that subject, about what this text is about. Does that make sense? We talked about this in the previous weeks. As we got to the end of interpretation, we started talking about biblical principles, universal, timeless biblical principles that you can pull out, right? Of that text that are not just true, for example, for Timothy as a young pastor in Ephesus that Paul's talking to, but what's the timeless biblical principle that might be applied to you as well and me as believers in Christ, right? And so unpack the truth. So those timeless biblical principles, what we usually do, this is a template. So I'm going to unpack, I might give the principle or I might wait, but I'm going to unpack those verses and I'm going to give you an understanding. I'm going to give you some observations. I might draw out a few key terms, and I'm going to give you a sense of the text and the meaning of the text so that we're not skipping to application. We're not anywhere near application yet. I want you to know what those verses are saying. I don't know about you, but I've sat before going, I don't know what that means. And are they going to explain it to me? That's kind of confusing. Are we going to unpack what that means? And so the first thing we do is help people understand observation, interpretation, the meaning of the text. And then we go to there from that point to bridge that gap. We might use an illustration. We might try to paint a picture of that truth and how it works to illustrate it. And then from that point, we go to application. Like, how does this apply? Is there any correlation first with the gospel, the truth of the gospel here for somebody in the room that might not know Jesus or people that do, because the gospel is still the power of God for us too. And then application, the way I look at application is from there, I go to our Christian life. How does this apply? Personal life, culture, what's the rub? What's the rub in my audience's life and my life probably? What's the rub in our culture, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You see the flow of all this? You guys catching it? All right. And then let's say if you look at the body, let's say that's one point. You might have 2 points or 3 points in your talk, in your lesson, in your class, if you're walking through a text. Likely it's not just one. And so what's the connection between your first point and your second point? Or if nothing else, how are you going to segue from that first thought that you had, that first biblical timeless principle, to the second one? How are they connected? Or how are you going to get people into your second thought? And so you just walk through it again. And then close, the goal of the close of in this template is, remember, the introduction was to prepare the listener to listen. The close, the goal is to prepare the listener to respond, because biblical teaching's goal is life change, right? It's not just information. And so the goal is to prepare the listener. How are they going to respond? And so you might close with a summary so people kind of get all the things that you're saying, package it pretty tight. You might use a more powerful illustration to illustrate how you want people to respond. I don't usually use my more powerful like illustrations until the end. If I have a story that I know is going to shake somebody because it's emotional or something happened, whatever it is, if you use that kind of thing early or in the middle, you lose people because it's too much. And so an illustration that causes people to think and feel and respond, and then a final charge. And usually if you look at, on Sundays at least, there's a takeaway, and that's usually in some kind of statement. It's usually some kind of statement that is a responsive statement, right? It's an imperative statement, meaning there's an action to it. It might be a thought, it might be something to do, it might be something else. And so that's one template: introduction, body, close. That's one way to teach and communicate. Questions about that? And this is that's a template specifically for monologue. Like, if you're teaching in a class or you're teaching a group of people and there's not back and forth. Thoughts or questions about that? So on Sunday, you might bring this and go, is this what he's doing this week, or is he doing something else, right? But there's a template for that. What will be probably more more connected for many of you will be, how do I open this text and do a family devotional or my community group, student ministry, that template. So, you guys, this is more intuitive template for teaching in circles. I would still say if there's a way to get into the subject, I know in our community group, these guys that lead our community do this well. It could be an icebreaker. It doesn't even have to be, it could be an icebreaker around the subject of some sort, created a need to hear what's in that text. We read the passage together. There's a brief teaching. It's kind of like a summary or an overview of the main thoughts and the main ideas in the text or the flow of the text. And then the bulk of your time, like in community group, and I don't know about Family Devo, it probably depends on the age of your kids, right? Who's your audience? How long is it? Gonna depend on the ages of the people in there. But I would say this, open-ended questions. And those are hard. I'm terrible at it. I just want to get up and teach. Open-ended questions are open-ended, so it's not a yes or no answer. It's tell me more, right? And so you're trying to create those kinds of questions. And I would say this, what we tend to do is that we read the passage and then we just ask people what they think about it, right? And it's not necessarily bad, but I think as we've learned over the last few weeks, perhaps a better way to do that is and to just intuitively teach people to do observation, interpretation, and application is ask specific questions, observations, questions. Hey, are there any key terms in this text that you think stick out at you? I mean, just go through that list of 10 observations as a community group leader, as the guy person teaching, and pull some of that. You can pull some of that out by just looking at those 10 laws of observation. Hey, what do you notice? What's a word that's repeated? And it forces people to dig up all that's in that text, like we've done. And then you might ask specific interpretive questions like, hey, does anybody know what they think this might mean? And I would say it that way because you're going to get some interesting things, right? And then you got the awkward, like, I don't think that's what it means, but let's walk through that, right? The art of doing that. Any shot at what you think that means based on what other passages would have us, the context, the content we've learned? Are there any other related passages that might help us? What does it say before? What is a few verses before, a few verses after, right? All those things can be part of the discussion. And what you're effectively doing is training people when they come to the Bible to observe and interpret. And then you can get to principle. Like, hey, what's a biblical principle that we can draw out of what the interpretation is that would not just apply to Old Testament Israel, but to you and me? And we talked about some areas where that's an important question because there's things that apply differently today than they did in the Old Covenant, right? If you're studying the book of Leviticus, you're going to have some different application than you would today, right? And then ask application questions, specific action-oriented application questions, and you might get crickets if it's too personal in the group, but if you know each other, maybe not. So helpful, maybe a little bit. Communication, ways to do it. This stuff isn't really taught. You know, it's not really communicated. It's not really taught to people in a church, but I think it needs to be. It's just like, it's this mystery. Somebody asked me to lead community group tonight, and I have no idea where to start. And, you know, I keep hearing the pastor say that we need to do family devotionals, but I'm scared. I don't know where to start with that. I hear I'm supposed to, you know, sit with my wife and read and study the Bible. I don't know how to do that. Like, this is what this is for, just to help you think through good questions, good ways to where this is meant to help you know where to start. Hey, the guy asked me to teach 1 week at, you know, summer midweek study. How would I do that? So we want to be a church that equips you to do this, some of those things. So here's what I want to do. I'm intentionally giving us 45 minutes, I think this would be a good exercise. I want to go back to Psalm 1, and maybe you're tired of Psalm 1. Maybe you've memorized it after 3 weeks of doing it. But I want to take all that work that many of you have done and observation, interpretation, and application in Psalm 1. Take all that. I know some of you brought, Molly brought her work. I seen it right over there. All that, I want you to take all that work and you decide. Here's my thought. This section over here, well, let's see, who we got here? We got parents. If you raise your hand if you want to do like family devo. That's the easy one, all right? You can step up. If you got kids, you want to do the family devotional. Dads, anybody? If you want to take someone and out of that template, create a family devotional in the next 30 to 45 minutes, do that, all right? I'm not going to force sections. Decide between family devotional. Who's doing family devotional? I just need to know that somebody's doing one of them, all right? So we got family devotional guys over here, all right? Community group. Who's doing community group? Or small group Bible study. I just need at least one. Over here? All right. Looks like community group here in a few weeks or September. We're doing something. Y'all doing something one. Okay. All right. And then who's doing Rose? You're doing Rose. You're going to preach a sermon in 30 minutes, buddy. Courtney's coming. She's going to put it together. Classroom or pulpit. All right, everybody else. All right, so it would be kind of neat if the people that were doing those got together. You don't have to, but came together. It might be easier that way too. So if you're doing circles like family devo, why don't y'all get together? You're doing devo, Adam over here. Y'all want to get with them and whoever else is doing that. And then community group, who's doing community group? These guys back here. Anybody else doing community group? Get together with them. And everybody else, classroom or preaching. Y'all get together. You can move around. Come together. It might be easier if you come together and do it together. You go, hey, how would we do this? And just take these templates. Unless you got a different way to do it, it's fine. You don't have to use all of it. Use some of it and figure out, okay, here's my audience. My audience is my kids. My audience is student ministry, teaching student. Is that what you're doing? Okay. Student ministry. We are. Courtney's preaching. Come on. So, what? No homework? I just do homework when we're together, okay? So we will have a family devotional shared from Psalm 1. We will have a community group lesson on Psalm 1 and some preaching on Psalm 1. All right, I know that's not a ton of time, but who all did the kind of family devo or more circles? One, two, three. All right, why don't we take you guys? Is your audience here? Who wants to talk first? All right, so your audience is your family. Okay, so kids are, how's Nash? 7 to 3. Okay, what's the time frame you think? Mom knows, we've done this before, 4 minutes. All right. Okay. Tell us about it.
So the main subject, Psalm 1, my mind went straight.
Let me do this.
We're going to do that. Just give me 2 seconds.
Can be Oprah.
You're not. Shannon, you're...
Maybe not.
Till he gets hurt.
My mind went straight to like catechism questions for like the main subject. So like, what is the chief end of man? So with little kids, kind of some repetition of question answers.
Let's test.
Hello.
All right.
So just walk through.
Yeah, whatever
you want. I'll go share what you thought through as it related to.
Yeah.
As it related to. You could even describe how you would go about doing it with your kids.
Yeah. So the intro icebreaker into the subject passage would be the catechism question. Okay. I thought about maybe if there was like a song for a psalm, like playing that or singing it also. And then why do we need to hear God's word on the subject? So with the catechism question, I guess it was like the purpose in life is to honor God and find joy in a relationship with him. So it's kind of getting the main point there with them, and then read through the passage, brief teaching, high level summary, and then kind of going into the questions. So I had a couple list of questions. So keeping it basic for the little kids, but like what kind of people is the passage talking about?
Right. Yeah.
What happens to the wicked? And then what is the blessed righteous man like? See if they can pick out a few things for that. And then kind of going, how do we avoid being wicked?
Mm-hmm.
And then how can we be a blessed righteous man? And kind of talking through, kind of focusing in on how he meditates day and night on the law.
Yeah.
And like how we can do that practically by reading and praying. And
yeah. Why are family devotionals important, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. Great. Know your audience. Age appropriate, right? 4 minutes. Not three, not five, right? Four. Good stuff. Very good stuff. All right, let's roll this way. Anybody else? Family devotional?
Okay, so for our family, I just assume that our younger two would not be in there. It's just to not have repetition, and it's a lot easier. So our youngest in this would be Allie, who is six. I think she's six. On up to 12, or almost 12.
Molly's like, yeah, she's six, I think.
Yeah, close enough. So following the template that you gave, the intro, I will try to... This would be the context of how we would do this would be after the younger two are in bed. And so we have some time before bed, do the intro. I like the idea of the song and stuff, but we'd probably just ask some questions like, do you want to be blessed or do you want to be successful at activity they like ninja or other activities they do?
Yeah.
Would establish the need. Usually with CGs, I do that through prayer, kind of talk about the need in the intro prayer. But with them, I'd probably go to, we want to make good life choices so that we can enjoy blessing in life and have our internal standing. We'd read the passage, the brief teaching. I would split it up by paragraph. You know, first paragraph is life choices. Second paragraph is life results. Third paragraph is eternal standing. And then the discussion, I would try to bring in the observation and interpretation questions of, you know, who's in it? What are they doing? Why do they do that? What happened? What things were repeated? Trying to just ask them to read it again and bring in those topics. Sure. And then interpretation, ask about cultural context. I would bring in the main comparison I would want to bring in is Romans 12:2, which is like the New Testament corollary to this one. And that would probably take up all the time with her being six. Wouldn't try to make 10 minutes or less, you know, ideally. And then applications, what could we change and what we'd expect from those changes about how can we make a routine for reading the Bible and what universal truths can we see?
Great. Good stuff. All right, we got one more family devo.
All right, so mine was more theoretical because I could talk at Saxon for 5 minutes and he's still not going to know what I'm talking about. I could pray that the Holy Spirit would fill him and he would know, but I don't think that's how it works. So this was more like if I was doing it with adults or teenagers.
Okay.
I obviously know how that is, so this would definitely work 100% with teenagers. But the idea was just to kind of like start it off in my mind. It was to be very direct with the first question. You know, we come in, we know that we're doing the family devotional, and then walk into like, for me, the primary question was, how do you know you're walking in the path of Christ? And then ask them to immediately engage with that question without ever reading it first. Just what do you think that means? And then talking a little bit about how a lot of Christians will claim their salvation, talk about salvation, but what are their actions? What do you see that they're doing, Christians that you look up to or ones that maybe you don't agree with? And let, again, that conversation get started. And then throw in the where do they stand, sit, and find their delight. And what do you see with those that you look up to, the ones that maybe you don't think are quite up to par? And then really bring it back to them and say, what are you doing, and where do you think you stand? And especially on the delight part, because I know that pretty much everybody, myself included, probably is like, no, I definitely delight in the word of the Lord just as much as I do in my Netflix binge at night before I go to bed. I 100% put just as much time in the Bible as I do that. And then we realize we don't every day. So to kind of throw that question back on them and get them to think about it from there, talk about how, you know, Psalms 1 is going to help us answer this. It's a blueprint for the righteous and warning for the wicked. And then we'd read it together all the way through. And then from there, it would be breaking down each section into, breaking it down to three sections based off of what we have here. So the first, second, and third. And I was going to hit on some of the main points. So like for the first one, I won't go through all three, but like for the first one as an example, blessed, walking through what that means, asking them what they think it means, again, engaging. Scoffers, for me personally, I should get better about bringing in actual Bible verses as like correlation. But for me, I think of like Teddy Roosevelt's The Critic.
Yeah.
And kind of walking through like, do you see this same thing in what you do or what you see other people do? Have people done it to you? Do you realize that this is like so important that right after sinners, we have scoffers, and then we finally go into what the blessed have?
Yeah.
And that's how important it is to not be that scoffer, that critic, that person in the stands who's not actually in the arena of the Spirit. And then I would do something similar for the rest of the paragraphs and really try and drive home, like, what are you doing in your daily actions? What do you see others doing in their daily actions? And how do you become the person who you want to see walking in that path of Christ?
Okay. Good stuff. Good ideas. All right. So we got community group. We got one. Anybody else with community group or y'all's community group? All right. Conroe community group. Next week is going through Psalm 1. Go.
Yeah, so usually when we're teaching in community groups, I like to start off with a reminder on, okay, what's the place this passage? Where have we been last one or two times? Then how does this tie in? So usually start with that as a reminder. And then we started to think about, we spent a lot of time here just talking about questions we would ask, because in a community group setting, trying to draw out the conversation and the engagement, less about, oh, I'm going to spend the next 20 minutes teaching on this passage. It's more, hey, how can we see, what do we see that's the same or different as we're going around and discuss it? So we did come up with kind of like an icebreaker, just talking about, hey, everybody likes the idea of being blessed, but what does that actually mean? And then talking about, okay, how does the world define that? And using that as kind of an open-ended question. Okay, now we'll come to, let's see what scripture says about that. So what kind of, some of those observation questions, what key terms do you see? What contrasts do you see throughout this passage, kind of tying it back to the world versus scripture? Examples of, hey, what does the example of the tree teach and fruit and how that applies to how we live out in community, things like that. So it was a lot. We spent a lot of time just thinking about questions, because in the context community group, just trying to get that conversation going, and kind of a main idea about abiding in the way of the Lord results in blessing and tying that in. I don't know if y'all had anything else wanted to.
Angela?
Nobody else wants Angela? To use the mic. I don't like to use the mic. That's why I like to be behind the soundboard.
All right. Good. It's good stuff. Any other CG take? You're like, no, I'm good. All right. So, Rose. So, we got either some kind of teaching setting where there's students. So, we'll, Miguel Kinsey. All right. How are we gonna teach this to the youths?
That amount of good plan.
What's the icebreaker for teenagers? What's the...
So usually we start out by playing like really competitive games. And
did I win?
Yes.
Or you win?
Oh. Now, so where's that? So it'd be student ministry anywhere from 12 to 17 year olds, we have like a big group, age difference wise. Teaching wise, it'd probably be anywhere from 25 to 30 ish minutes, give or take. Usually I would like to start out like with the icebreaker question, like, especially with this group of kids, mostly how it applies to their friendships and their daily life in school. Friendships in school is where their main, not problems, but where they are doing life. From there, hopefully there's participation from 2-3 kids, kind of like give a hint of what's coming in the passage. Oh yeah, that kind of makes sense. It correlates to what a blessed man is or something like that. From there, go through the passage, and for each, try to have 2-3 points. So for like this passage, it'd probably be 2-3 points and a lot of comparison, from what a wise man is compared to a wicked man, mm-hmm. and where they could see that being applicable in their lives. And if there is examples that they would like to share of like students or even themselves, in their daily life of examples, and maybe even ask the question, why do you think they are like that? What is it, their family life? Is it, are they a believer? Are they not a believer? Try to unpack that a little bit. From there, again, we're teaching through the passage. After that's done, kind of finish with the main takeaway. And then from there, split usually into girls and boys, and try to go a little bit deeper. When they're in separate groups, they tend to share a little bit more and be more intimate with their leaders. So
we kind of have it, the template one, you do in those 20 minutes, and then you pretty much do template two and breakout groups, right?
Yes, kind of.
Yeah. Sort of application.
Sort of, right? Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things, go ahead, Kinsey.
No, I was just joking. She didn't want to be put on the spot.
Seriously, did. One of the challenges of only giving you 20 minutes is you can do some of the textual work, but it takes a few days usually to let the like icebreaker illustration that marinate. And so when you're preparing, if you do work, whether it's a Sunday school class or community group, a lesson for Sunday, a preaching, if early in the week you do all the textual work and do all that, then you have time for thoughts to come to your head around what's a good icebreaker question for Psalm 1. I gave you like 15 minutes, you know, that doesn't come as easily, right? And so if you think about it through the week, as you're thinking about what the text means, a lot of that, what a lot of people call like the flowering of a talk or a sermon or et cetera, that comes out as you have time for that to marinate a little bit longer. Like, how would I illustrate that point? How would I, you know, that doesn't usually happen really quick. So good stuff. Very good. All right. What else? We got people over here. What'd you guys choose?
Can't vote us down there.
Yeah. Yes. Awesome.
No, I did community group, but I didn't get very far.
Okay.
I guess.
It's all right. Johnny, what'd you do?
I did Psalm 1.
Okay.
I'm on Psalm 1 because Ree and I are trying to spend the name of the Bible study.
Awesome.
Tomorrow night.
Okay.
Yeah, see how that goes.
Okay. So you've been working on it, huh?
Yes, it's what
happened. Good. Yeah. Anybody else? How long are we going, Rob?
How long we got? So icebreaker, we'll go with growing up in Greens Point, Texas.
Guns Point, Texas.
Okay. You might be surprised to find out that one of my favorite artists to listen to was Elton John. Very thug, very ghetto.
I don't know what to think right now. Okay, keep going.
I had a boomer dad. We would listen to oldies 107.5, running errands, running to Home Depot, running the grocery store. And so I inherited his passion for that era of music. And Elton John has a song called Blessed. which it wouldn't take long after listening to it for you to realize that his understanding and the world's understanding of what it is to be blessed is quite different from Psalm 1 and the rest of Scripture. And so that's kind of an introduction into it. Asking with a more of a hook, what does it look like to be blessed? What is your definition of blessed? How would you define it? And in this passage, we see a contrast between those who are labeled blessed according to God and those who are labeled as wicked. And one of the things that I wanted to bring to it was an understanding of all people start out in this life, as Romans 3 says, falling short of the glory of God. We're all wicked in our sin. And so how does one go from that state into being blessed is a really good question. How do you go from being an enemy of God to delighting in him? And beyond that, choosing to delight in him and meditate on his word day and night. And so in order to delight in God and to be blessed, you must understand that it is a grace of God towards you, giving you a new heart and a new understanding. And that in and of itself is where blessedness begins.
Good.
Right? It's unmerited favor. It's his grace given to you. And then after that, from that place, you now have a duty to respond to that. It doesn't mean that the day I was converted, I didn't just sit down and read my Bible and delight in the law of God. It was a practice that came with time and with discipline. And so there is a call here to have God's word before us day and night, to ponder it, to think about it. And so what does that look like? Is this passage telling us to sit down? Anyways, I don't want to take more time, but
no, it's good. Keep going. Keep going. No, it's good. So you've got a way to, the other thing that you can do, and with an introductory illustration like that, is you can key off the first point if you want to. It could be the main idea, it could be the first point. And so that's a great example. Elton John question, and I'm thinking about out loud, thinking about kind of the structure of that template would be, you basically have a problem here, right? You have a problem, and it's that we're all wicked, right? Apart from Christ, so you can bring Christ into it. The solution is Christ, but here's the way as Christ, as we come to Christ, that means we can delight in him, that we can delight in his word. We can walk with him. We should prep, sermon prep together. We can walk with him. So like, yeah, you've got the basic structure of it right there. Sounds like a sermon, right? Good stuff. Where they listen to Elton John. Well, this has been a lot of fun. We could have done this for about 12 weeks. Four was pretty tight, but I hope that in 4 weeks, you've gotten some tools for your tool belt, whether it's personal Bible study or just asking good questions of observation questions of what you see in the text, good interpretive questions, those five C's, application questions. And then, hey, here's how I'd go about thinking about how I would share this, you know, with my spouse in a devotional in our home or our kids or community group or other. And so I hope, even though it's only 4 weeks, I hope it's been helpful to you. I've got a bunch of resources that I can get to you. The one that I think is probably the best, and there's a lot of resources out there on the subject of how to do Bible study, but Howard Hendricks, Living by the Book, I brought it most weeks, but you can come take a picture of it. This workbook is really helpful as well, because it gives you a lot of practice. It's like, hey, let's talk about observation, and then it gives you, here's some practice on different texts, ask questions, and it goes through observation, interpretation, and application, and gives you a lot of exercises to do, so if you're interested. But you can come up here and check it out. But I would highly encourage you to take that laminated copy and use that as a resource as you're studying the scriptures personally, as you're thinking about teaching in your group or your home. So thank you. Thanks for participating. Y'all all now have a Bible study. Basically, y'all can teach on Psalm 1 out of the last 4 weeks. So appreciate you. Let me pray and wrap up. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you that it is a delight. We ask that you give us a heart to delight in your word, to know you through it, to be learners who are engaged in your word, that we may rightfully know how to know you, to worship you, to live our lives. So we thank you for time together to unpack your word, to learn better, some tools just to know you better in it. And so would you bless our time and pray for our church and pray for these folks who have come and spent time learning and growing. Lord, I pray that this would be a blessing for their lives as they go home and on a Monday morning or a Thursday morning, tomorrow morning or evening or whenever they open your word, and just to be able to delight better in it with the tools that we've walked through in these weeks. We love you. We thank you for this church. We thank you for people who want to know you and serve you and follow you and share you with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys.